So you pray for us this morning that the Lord would have His way. I want to preach on the subject. If I was given a title to this message, I would call it, let's read verse number 7 again, and then I'll tell you the title of the message. Verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And I especially point out that where the Bible says there, a thorn in the flesh. And I want to try to preach today on the subject, has the devil given you your shots? Has the devil given you your shots? I remember when I was a little boy growing up and going to school and all these things, and like all young people growing up, if you wanted to strike fear into my heart and my brother's heart, all you had to do was let us know that it was time to go to the doctor to get our shots. And everybody knows about that. You know, your children growing up, you have your immunization record, and then you go into the military or get older, you have to have shots. I mean, everybody knows what it is to have to go and get a shot at the doctor. Of course, now you can get shots just about anywhere, at least a flu shot anyway. I've noticed you can get a flu shot at the drugstore, at the mall, I mean Walmart, it doesn't matter. Seem like everywhere you go, somebody's wanting to give you a shot for something, but I don't know about anybody else. I dread it. Dread it like the toothache, dread it like anything else, going to the doctor, dentist or something and getting the feeling is to be told that I was going to have to go get a shot. And I got studying a little bit about this. We use different words for shots. They're called vaccines, immunization, inoculation is another word that you that is used along the same lines, but it's been around. The idea of being vaccinated against something or getting a inoculation has been around for a little over 200 years now. And the very first time it was introduced or discovered, you might say, was by a man. His last name, I believe, was Fenner. He's from England. And he discovered that milkmaids in England that had cowpox would not be infected and not have smallpox. And that's where that word vaccine first comes from. It comes from the word cow. And they would take where you'd get cowpox from a cow, and if you could get just a little bit of that some way, and they didn't at first vaccinate, giving a shot like we think, but they found out that people that had cowpox would not contract smallpox. And so that's where all that comes from. And it's been around, I think the first vaccination was given in the year 1790. The word inoculation, which is another word that we use for immunization or a vaccine, it means this. It means the act or practice of communicating a disease to a person of health. The act or practice of communicating a disease to a person of health. Now, at first, that doesn't seem too smart, does it? You know, you say, well, I don't have the flu. Why should I get a flu shot? Because you know what you get in the flu shot? You get just a little strain of the flu virus. And so you say to yourself, you know, why should I get that injected into my body? You're more than likely, and you can get symptoms of the flu from getting a flu shot. The reason is because you're getting a little bit of the flu. We need a little bit of that virus, a little bit of that microorganism that goes along with that. And so at first that doesn't seem too smart. But the idea is this morning, and you need to understand this to get the gist of the message. The idea is to give you a little bit of something. And when you do that, your system builds up a resistance to that and an immunity to that disease, whatever it might be. And so if your immune system can build up against that, you'll never get the real thing, the full-blown flu. That's why you get just a little bit of it. Now, that's a good thing. That is all right. You know, even when I was growing up, you'd hear every once in a while about somebody getting the measles. You don't hear about that very much now because of vaccines against the measles, because there used to be a long list of what was called childhood killers and things that people were afraid of getting because the disease was so bad. Measles and smallpox and polio and whooping cough and things like that. They were called childhood killers. We don't even worry very much about those things today because of vaccines, because of immunization, because of shots against those things. But I go on this morning, in a spiritual sense today, I believe the devil has given some people some shots. He's given them just a little bit of some things in this day and time, and we're really all down through time, and then giving somebody just a little bit of the real thing, it has built up our spiritual immune system against the real thing. And so I won't preach this morning on the subject, has the devil given you your shots? First of all, today, has the devil given you a shot of salvation? The devil giving you a shot of salvation. Proverbs 16 and 24, the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, there's a lot of religious people out here in the world today. They've got just enough of Jesus that they think they're all right, but they don't really have the real thing. There's a way that seems right unto a man. The Bible says that. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, I didn't grow up in my Grandpa Cornette's church as far as being a member of it, but he was a preacher, he was a pastor for many, many years, and one of the last times I really heard him preach, he preached out of the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe it was, where the Bible talks about that man has sought out many inventions, and he made this comment when he was preaching. He said, religion will send more people to hell than anything else. You think about that this morning. I thought, preacher, that being religious was a good thing. Well, it's not a good thing if it makes you think you're going to heaven and really you're not, because you've never been saved. You've never been born again. In that instance, that'd be a very bad thing for you. Look over in your Bible in Matthew chapter number 7. I want to read a verse over there in just a moment. But you think about today the many, many ways that the devil has people fooled into thinking that they are saved, that they're heaven bound, and really they don't have a real personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the devil has given a whole lot of people a little shot of a false profession. A lot of people probably sitting right here this morning. Once upon a time in your life, you made a profession, but as you went on in your life and grew and got a little bit older, you realized that you had made a false profession. Maybe you had went forward and prayed, maybe during a revival, maybe during Bible school, maybe at home when you were little or something like that, and you'd said, or somebody had told you, like happens sometimes, that you were saved, but really you didn't understand, you didn't know what you were doing, you didn't get saved, but you thought you were. You'd made a profession. There's a lot of people, they've got a little shot of a false profession, and that has immunized them against the real thing, having a real personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people have been given a little shot of baptism, a little shot of church membership to make them think they're all right and they're saved, and if they died, they'd go to heaven, but really they're not ready to go. They're just religious. Being religious sometimes can be a bad thing if it puts in your heart and mind that you're saved and really you're not. A lot of people have a little shot of self-righteousness. How many people this morning has heard somebody say, well, I'm just as good as anybody down at the church? Well, do we go to heaven by being good? If you went to heaven by being good, well, I'm for being good, and I am for being good, but being good won't get you to heaven. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, we all need to be saved. The Bible doesn't say we all need to join the church. We all need to be baptized. The Bible doesn't say we all need to. The Bible says we all need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's why, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus died upon the cross, because we were sinners. But I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of people in this world. They've got enough of a little shot of religion. They know enough about the Bible. They know enough about Jesus Christ in order to make them think they're going to heaven when they die, when actually they're not. That's a bad thing. I was talking to a friend this week, a gentleman that I went to high school with, and he was talking about being raised a Baptist and how that when he had questions, he went to the Bible and things along those lines. And so he brought it up, so I asked him outright. I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, that's good. You go to church and you was raised a Baptist, and when you have questions, you go to the Bible. But I said, let me ask you something. I said, if you died today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? And I said, why would you go to heaven? And you know the answer I received. I mean, let me tell you something this morning. That's a very simple question. You don't have to have went to Bible school. You don't have to have went to Bible college to answer the question, if you died today, where would you go and why would you go there? That's a very simple question. If you asked me that question, if I died today, I would tell you I would go to heaven. I know I would go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And there was a day and time in my life where I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of my sins, and trusted Him with all of my heart. If there's anything else to do, I don't know what it is. I would go to heaven because I've done all according to the Bible that I can find and read that Jesus has asked for us to do, and that's simply to believe upon His Son. But my friend, that wasn't the answer that he gave. It wasn't even, it was all around, and it didn't even make any sense to me. So you know what I'd have to conclude? That person's not saved. That person doesn't know the Jesus Christ that I know. I mean, either you're saved or you're not. Everybody here this morning ought to be able to go to a day and a time in your life where you can say without any shadow of a doubt, preacher, I'm saved. The Lord saved me right here. I can go back. I can take you to the time. I can take you to the place. Matthew chapter 7, I ask you to turn over there. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 in verse number 13, we'll begin, we'll read right there a few verses. The Bible says in Matthew 7 and 13, it says, Jesus said this, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. That's talking about the broad path to hell. The Bible says there's many people on that road. Verse 14 says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, a lot of the accusation in our day and time is if you believe the Bible, that you're narrow-minded. I preached a message one time. I've never preached it here. I preached a message on the narrow-minded Jesus. The Bible says there, narrow is the way. Jesus Christ Himself said in John 14:6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. That's pretty narrow, isn't it? Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He said, I'm the way. I'm the only way. You don't get any more narrow than that. Yes, the way to heaven is very narrow. and few there be that find it. Then going down to verse 21, the Bible said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Read that real slow. Jesus is saying not everybody that's religious goes to heaven. Not everybody that prays and says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. You know what? They're religious. They've went to church. They have prophesied in his name. They've cast out devils. They have in thy name done many wonderful works. They were good to their neighbor. They took meals when somebody died. They visited somebody. They done a lot of wonderful works in the name of the Lord. But then it goes on and it says in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. To me, that's some of the saddest words in all the Bible. That people who are religious, and I'm not picking on anybody this morning, but that's Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterian, Mormons, Jews, Muslims, Catholics. And I told my friend I was talking to, I said, it doesn't matter what your brand is. What matters is that you know the Lord Jesus. If you don't know Him, I don't care what you call yourself. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are religious people that it's talking about there. My Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I know today that the devil has given many, many people a shot of salvation because of the way they live their lives. The Bible says if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Word of God says, but there are literally millions of people in the world who are religious. And they live their lives no different than anybody else. Still going about cussing and drinking and stealing and lying and cheating and fornicating. And I could come up with a big long list this morning and still go right on and have a religious bumper sticker or wear a cross around their neck or something like that. There's something wrong with that picture. I know we're not perfect after we get saved. But I tell you, after we get saved, there ought to be a difference in our lives. There ought to be a change in our lives. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. A lot of times people come, well, I've got problems with this and I've got problems with that. Maybe you've never been saved. That'd solve a whole lot of problems. Because I'll tell you, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Tells us to love not the things of the world. And I know we all get caught up, messed up and stuff like that. But thank God there's the Holy Ghost that comes along and says, you ought not to be doing that. You ought not to be saying that. You need to get back over here and do right and all of these things. Religion will make you immune to your need of salvation. I've talked to a whole lot of people down through the years. And you can talk till you're blue in the face. And if somebody's real religious, they're the hardest ones in the world to win. The Lord Jesus himself run into that very problem when he talked to the Pharisees and he said in Matthew chapter number 9, he said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came to call people to repentance. People that don't see a need, people that think they're pretty good. Boy, it's hard to see them saved. They've got just enough of a shot of salvation that they don't see their real need of a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that changes us. Here's the difference from the inside out. Religion tries to change you from the outside in. Christ changes us. He comes on the inside. And it works out into our lives. Has the devil given you this morning a shot of salvation? Second of all today, has the devil inoculated you against worship? There's a lot of people been inoculated against worship. I'm talking about the worship that we find in the Bible in John chapter 4 and verse 24. The Bible says over there, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter number 24. I'll read some verses over there in just a moment. But when I'm talking about worship this morning, I'm talking about real, old-time, Holy Ghost, Spirit-led, Christ-honoring worship. I'm talking about the kind of worship that I read about in the book of Psalms, where every once in a while there is shouting and raising of hands and testifying and praising the Lord. I mean, if you just do a casual reading of the book of Psalms, you're going to find over and over and over again to where it talks about praising the Lord. How much worship out here today do we find in different churches that is actually praising the Lord and worshiping Him? There's a lot that is so stiff and cold, and I mean, people just get used to that. And real worship would scare them to death. And see, the devil, here's how the devil is. The devil will make a man go to an extreme. God will have truth concerning any matter. And if anybody gets to wanting to follow that, the devil will push them into an extreme. Meaning they will think either that worship has to be so cold and formal and dead and ritual and all of these things. They'll read over there in the New Testament about the law and all of these things, and they'll copy that and then carry it to an extreme and go beyond. Or on the other side, they'll just get into some wild fanaticism and all this stuff we read and hear about, and it's two extremes. Jesus said in John 4, 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Many today are following after what is called a contemporary style of worship, which is characterized by a fleshly type of music with a worldly drum beat of a thing and a real relaxed atmosphere and a flexible schedule and an emphasis on going away feeling good. Emotions. Contemporary. There's a difference between this new type of worship and what we would refer to as an old-fashioned, a fundamental type of theology that brings us to God in the proper manner. Let me tell you the difference. This new type of worship emphasizes praise and worship. Praise and worship is good. We are to come and praise and worship the Lord. I'm not condemning that whatsoever. But this newfangled worship today, it bypasses a real old path in the Word of God that you can't get away from. We find a pattern in the Word of God. When they would come to worship, say for example in the Old Testament, before they got into the Holy of Holies, before they got into the presence of God, they made a stop at the laver. They washed themselves. There's a pattern there that we're missing in this day and time, and that is an emphasis on if we're going to come and worship a holy God, we must be holy in our hearts and in our lives. That's what the Bible's talking about in Psalms chapter number 24 and verse number 3. Look what the Bible says there. It says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Talking about who's going to come and worship God. I mean, who's going to come and get right in His presence and worship the Lord? The answer is found in verse 4.
he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who's going to worship God? That's that Old Testament picture there of the priests coming to worship God, and they come in. First thing they had to do was wash in the laver. It was water, it was a pool of water. And that is a picture of washing of water by the Word that we read about in Ephesians chapter number 5. And if we really want to worship God in spirit and in truth, we have to be clean as we come. And if we don't have an emphasis upon the cleanliness, then we've not really worshiped God. But there's a lot of come as you are, leave as you went that places no emphasis and really de-emphasizes even doing anything before you come to worship. But people go and there's that. See, music has a great impact upon our emotions and how we feel. And the reason the contemporary style has to have the new type of music is because it speaks to our flesh. You can hear certain types of music and it'll raise your, it'll affect how you feel. And that's why they can go and hear this certain type of music that's patterned after the world. All that's different is the words. But it just as might as well be pop or rock or country or something like that, because the beat preaches a message. Makes you feel good, makes you feel sad, makes you feel a certain type of emotion. And so there's an emphasis put upon the worship and praise through the music ministry, which is worldly in how it sounds. But people can go away and say that they feel better, but the same people will hear the old time hymns, and I've had people tell me, "Well, I just don't get much out of them hymns." Boy, I do. You get your heart in the right frame of mind and you come to really worship the Lord and thank Him for what He has done for you, and you get somebody to stand up filled with the Spirit of God and sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." Boy, that'll do something for you. That's an old-time hymn. Boy, people don't want to hear about that bloody religion anymore. Well, I'm thankful for it. If it wasn't for that, I'd still be on my way to hell this morning, and you would too. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verses 18 and 19, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, singing yourselves in psalms and hymns," spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord this morning. I'm glad that old time worship still does something for me down in my heart. But if you want to really worship God, you're going to have to deal with that laver. You're going to have to deal with sin in your life. That's the pattern we find in the Bible. And then let God move and work and have His way. But I'll tell you this morning, there's a lot of people out here today. They've been immunized against old time worship. They just can't get anything out of that. They fed on that other stuff so much. I was reading this week about the children of Egypt, the children of Israel, when they were delivered out of Egypt, and God gave them angel food. And pheasant. Have you ever went to a restaurant and had something like pheasant under glass? That's a delicacy. And that's a high-priced meal. God fed them the very best of the best, but you know what? They had eaten that old food down in Egypt so long that they couldn't acquire taste for God's food. They'd been immunized against it, and they said, "We'd like to have some leeks and melons and onions and greens and greasies and creases and all that good stuff. We won't go back to Egypt." Have you been immunized? Have we been immunized this morning against worship? I'm glad it does something for me. And thirdly, this morning, I want to say, have you been immunized against the truth? Jesus said in John 17 and 17, He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Right there's the truth. A lot of people in this day and time, they don't know what the truth is, where the truth is, where it can be found. But I will tell you this morning, the devil has been attacking God's word since the very, very beginning. First thing the devil ever said was to Eve in the garden that we have recorded in God's word. And he came to her and he said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Question mark. First thing the devil ever did, he put a question mark on God's word. And he has been doing that ever since. He comes along and says, did God really say that? You think that hadn't had an effect on people down through the years? We're living in a society today that most people don't even know if we have the truth or not. They don't know if we've got a Bible, which version they need, if it's reliable, who said what, and was it in this manuscript, in that manuscript? Who's behind all that? The devil is. That's the business that he's in, is casting doubt upon God's word. And in our society today, the Bible is looked upon at the very best in some circles as just good advice. Optional advice, but it's still pretty good advice. And then at the very worst case scenario, it's looked upon as being despised and rejected and ought to be done away with. You know why? Let me just put this in. You know why we as Christians ought to be concerned about them passing laws in this country to restrict, like, who was it? Brady up in Pennsylvania this week, he said, you know, they want to restrict images used in political campaigns. Like, nobody could use a crosshair to say, you know, we need to win in this district. And there's no telling what all they could come up with. And saying all this stuff, we need to tone down the rhetoric and how we say things and all like that. You know what will be outlawed before you can turn around? That right there. Think of what the Bible talks about. The weapons of our warfare. Put on the whole armor of God. Fight the good fight. Well, that's hate speech. Our missionaries up in Canada and places, they have to be real careful about what they preach on and how they preach. If one person comes in and says that they felt offended or threatened, why, they could come and get the preacher and close the church and all. Yeah, that's what's coming. Better be careful what we say. Yeah, I think that's a good idea about. But anyway, this morning in our society, the Word of God is, people can't even stand the truth. Can't take the truth. Look how many ways we've turned our back on the truth of God's Word and what it says. The Bible says in Psalms 9:17, the Bible says over there, talks about the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. The Bible says if we forget God, He'll turn our nation into hell. And it takes 6 people getting killed and 12 people getting shot for the president to even make a veiled reference to the Word of God in a memorial service. Might read a little Bible in if something real bad happens, you know, and have a memorial service. But you think that crowd's living by the Word of God? No. We've turned our back on God's Word. We become immune to the truth. And the more that we're immune to the truth, the more it offends us. I mean, there's Christian people offended by the Word of God. And if God's people can't stand it, what's going to happen to the world? But you look at what our nation has said about marriage just in the few years. God's Word says that it's between a man and a woman, and the world says, that it's between a man and a woman and a man and a man or whatever the case might be. That is a direct slap in the face to God's truth. That's the truth. Somebody says, well, I don't like that. Well, it doesn't matter. God's Word says, Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22, the Bible says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination in the sight of God. God says it stinks. But society says, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Let people do any old thing. Joe Biden, I read something that he had said right after the military repealed this don't ask, don't tell policy, which I never thought was a great idea anyway because it makes people be liars. I don't think God's in that. I think it'd be better to go back to the way it was when it was right. And they said, wouldn't allow homosexuals in the military. That's the way it used to be, but they changed it. Now they've repealed even the don't ask, don't tell. And Joe Biden said, now that this has been repealed in the military, he said the whole country will accept it. People's ideas on marriages and things. I'm not picking this morning. I'm just saying we've gotten far, far away from the truth. We've been immunized to the truth and people can't stand the truth. Who done that? The devil did. Look at the way our society looks at the simple fact of creation. Genesis 1:1, the Bible said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You'll never hear that in school. We're told we evolved from monkeys in billions of years and all of these things. Look at our attitude towards sowing and reaping. Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's a truth in God's Word that you'll never ever alter and I'll never ever change it. But you know how people are today. They don't live their lives like they believe in that. That you'll reap what you sow. What I'm talking about this morning is the prevailing attitude in our country towards God's Word that we don't need that anymore. We need that now more than we ever have before. But our attitude's like this. It's sort of like my two-year-old. She likes to play on our bed, Kim and I. And there's a footboard down at the bottom of the bed, and there's a post about that high and a rail across, and she likes to climb up on the hope chest and climb up on the bed, and then of all things, in her slick sock feet, likes to stand on that post and hold on to that post and stand on that rail and play right there of all places. And I go through and I tell her, I say, you need to get down from there. You're going to fall. And I told her that just 2 days ago. She said, no, I won't. I said, yes, you will. No, I won't. On and on. And I just seen how many times. I said, yes, you will. No, I won't. Yes, you will. No, I won't. And you know what happened in a little while? Funk, funk, wah! Of course, I just run right in there and scooped her up. You know me. I said, somebody go see if she's bleeding. Aren't you glad God's not like we are? That's how we are. That's how we are. God says, you better not do this. You better not do this. This is going to happen. No, it won't. Oh, it'll happen to somebody else, but it won't happen to me. That's how we live our lives. It'll happen to somebody else, won't happen to me. Somebody else can do that, and if something bad happens to them, well, they deserve that, but it won't happen to me. Yes, it will. Because God's Word says, be not deceived. Don't be tricked about this thing. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You young people, you live your life a certain way, and certain things is going to happen. Yes, it will. But older generation, they don't do much better. That's what's scary about the thing. But the more we're immunized against the truth of God's Word, the more it offends us and people can't stand it. And that's why I say it's going to be more and more where this is why, and I've said this on the radio a few times here lately, but this is why
The world can't even stand baby Jesus in a manger. How are they going to stand anything else? They want to get rid of a little baby in a manger and can't stand it to even be in public view. What are they going to do with that? What are they going to do with the rest of it? There is an immunity to God's Word. People don't want it. They don't like to hear any of it. Nothing about it. I had somebody this week said to me, they said, in love, you need to watch the politics. And of course, that made me mad. And I thought about that a minute, and I told them, I said, listen, in love, John the Baptist could have watched the politics and kept his head. But would Jesus have said about him that there was not a greater man? I doubt it. If John had lived to a ripe old age, because he'd have been a compromiser that kept his mouth shut against the truth, I doubt Jesus would have ever said that there is no man greater born of woman than John the Baptist. I said, I'm no John, but I'd rather be like John than to keep my mouth shut over a few bucks. That's why a lot of people keep their mouth shut over money. What it'll cost them. The truth will cost you. But I'd rather hear that commendation. John's head may have fell in the bucket, but about 1 second after that, he is sticking out his tongue over the rails in heaven. Didn't kill me. Done me a favor. Amen. Would you rather be in prison or be in heaven? John went to heaven. John, yeah, he could have kept his mouth shut and kept his head. I'll tell you, few and far between. I don't know about anybody else. I love the truth. I want the truth. I try hard not to be offensive, not to hurt anybody's feelings. I try to be sensitive to the fact that people can't take anything anymore. But the truth's the truth. And you know what? It might hurt you, but it'll help you. But if you don't ever hear it, it doesn't have a chance to help you. Because you don't know about it. I love the truth. I want to hear it. Let me close by saying this morning. Immunization makes it harder for you to get sick, like the flu. But it's still not impossible to get the flu. The devil giving people their shots spiritually makes it harder for them to receive the truth. But thank God it's not impossible. Because Jesus, sir, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank God, I'm glad today God's grace is greater than all of our sin and all of our rejection of His Word. You know, I didn't spend a whole lot of time over there dealing with this scripture. I just took that little thought, and I don't normally preach. This is what would be considered a topical message, but I just took that little thought, thorn in the flesh, like a thorn sticks you in your flesh, and a immunization. You see the parallel there, but the devil done that to Paul. The devil done it. Given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. The devil done that to him. The devil gave him that shot. But read on down. God used it for good. He prayed for the Lord to remove it in verse number 8. Verse number 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And you know what? The devil meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. And I know we live in an awful society and the last generation and all of those things, but I really believe with all my heart that God is able to raise up from this generation some of the greatest. Some of the best. Some that have spent their whole life being immunized against God's truth.
Thank God, aren't you glad today you can still get the real thing? Even the devil tried to make it where you wouldn't. Because God's grace is greater. I don't know about anybody else. I want the real thing. I want all of it. I want to be what God had had me to be. I want all of His presence in my life. I can stand. I want the real thing. I don't want to be immunized against it. I'm glad for the grace of God today. I'm glad for the power of God. I'm glad for the power of His Word. I'm thankful that it's unto all generations. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.